Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So I quickly want to just briefly go through with you what I ran through last week. I'm not going to be able to get to everything, as I said. You need to go and get the recording online to hear everything. So, you know, I'm just going to touch real quick. We're going to start in John 14, 16 to 18, and it says this, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." First thing we did last week is we looked at the relationship between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And we recognized that Jesus had an incredible relationship with the Holy Spirit while He was here. In fact, the Holy Spirit was right there at conception. The Holy Spirit rested upon Him. The Holy Spirit was given to Him with what it suggests is that Jesus had the Spirit with Him, in Him, spoke to Him, had communion with Him, led Him, guided Him, and empowered Him. So we recognize that from the very beginning that Jesus had this incredible relationship with the Holy Spirit. After studying the Word, we see that at the end, before He goes to the cross, it must have been a difficult time for His disciples when He said that, "Listen, I'm going to be leaving you. And when I leave you, don't worry, because I'm not going to leave you orphans." Jesus wanted to affirm them. He wanted them to know that He loved them and He was not just going to leave them on their own. He says that, "I will not leave you orphans." So it's a powerful statement. But what's really powerful is where he says, "I will pray the Father." The word "pray" there is not the normal word used for pray. It is the Greek word erotao. And the word erotao in the Greek actually means implore. I stand to correction, but as far as I can remember, it's only used 6 times in the New Testament. And out of all those 6 times, Jesus is the one who uses it 5 times. Actually, no, it was used 7 times. He used it 6 times. So we see that if that specific word is used for prayer by Jesus, obviously there's a certain level of authority or a certain level of relationship between Him and the Father. And He says to the Father, I pray the Father that He will send you another Helper. And the word "pray" there, as I say, is implore. So He's really going before God and saying, "Father, I want you. I desire that you would give them this other Helper." What's also powerful is we see the word "another" in the Greek there, which really represents basically in the original language and back then, another one just like me. So He says to the disciples, "I won't leave you orphans. I'm going to send you another Helper. I'm going to send you another one who is just like me." Amen. So that's great news, right? Then on Sunday night, now we looked at a whole lot of other stuff, but this will just lay a foundation for today. Then on Sunday night, we looked at the fact that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. He's our Helper. The Greek word used there is the Greek word parakletos, which basically is a compound of 2 words. Parakletos means helper, comforter. But if you break the word down into its original form, the first part of it is the word para, which speaks of someone who is very close to you. Someone who is para to you is someone that you love dearly, that you're sort of intimate with. You won't be para with some guy you've just met. You will be para with someone like your spouse, because someone that you are para with is someone who you eat with, who you have fellowship with, who you share intimacy. I shared with the group last week that the Holy Spirit should be someone like your best friend. Someone like, how many of you know what it was like when you were a young child? And you'd have your best friend over as a sleepover. And at 12 o'clock at night, you're lying in bed and you've spoken all the nonsense you can. And you're finally at that point where now your heart is open and you've shared intimate things with each other. And now you really let it out. You spill your guts. You share your intimate secrets with your best friend. That's someone who the Holy Spirit is like. He's someone that you can be intimate with and share your intimate secrets with. That's what para sort of suggests. The second part of the word parakletos is the word kletos, obviously. kletos means to call or be called, but it's not like, hey, calling you like that. It suggests being called. For example, in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. That basically suggests Paul's calling. So the word kletos basically suggests being called to do something. The Holy Spirit's calling is to be close to you. The Holy Spirit's calling is to be your helper. The Holy Spirit's calling is to be your comforter, your advocate, to draw close to you. That's what he's called to do. So it's a very powerful word. Now this week, I want to go a little bit deeper. And the first thing we need to understand is that in your mind, in your soul, you have a lot of voices that speak to you all the time. Some of you do. Let me prove it to you. You have family speaking. You have friends speaking. You have the television that speaks a whole bunch to some of you. Amen. You have the internet speaking. You have social media speaking. So constantly you have, just from the natural perspective, voices speaking into your life all the time. To discern these voices and to try and figure out which one of these voices on the inside of you now, not even those external voices, is actually God speaking to you, can sometimes be a bit of a daunting task, a little difficult. But we need to understand that in order for us to have this type of relationship that God requires us to have with the Holy Spirit, it is absolutely critical for us to be led by Him. To be led by Him. In other words, He leads us, not we lead Him. Amen. So let's take a look real quick at Jesus, because Jesus is our example. And if Jesus is our example, we should follow His lead as well, right? So Luke 4, verse number 1. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Luke 4:14 says, Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of Him went out throughout all the surrounding regions. So we see Him leave, and He goes led by the Spirit, and we see Him returning as well in the power of the Spirit. So He's led both times by the Spirit. In fact, if you study it and you look at it, you'll recognize the fact that Jesus was constantly led by the Spirit. Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit. Amen. Let's move on. Now, let's take a look at that Greek word led, because it's a powerful word. The Greek word led in the original language is the word ego or echo. Echo is the way you would say it in Greek. And it means to be led. So led means to be led. Amen. So He should lead us, or echoas, which is the root word. But now watch this, because the root word belongs to a word called echon or egon, which describes an intense struggle. The word echon describes an intense struggle. Now think about it. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, but there's an intense struggle also going on between our fleshly desires and also being led by the Spirit. How many of you know that there's a war between the Spirit and the flesh all the time? Okay, it's not necessarily what your desire is, but constantly there's this war taking place. Paul said it, there's a war between my flesh and my spirit all the time. Amen. So He will lead us, but there is this constant struggle taking place between our flesh and the Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit lead us? How does He speak to us? He gives you an impression. That's one way. He pulls at your heart to do something. He'll speak in a vision. He can speak prophetically. Most of the time, it's a still small voice. You can be in the Word and the Holy Spirit will speak to you. But what you have to train yourself to do is to be obedient to that voice when it speaks to you. And that's not always easy. It's not easy to even listen and discern all the time when he's speaking. We'll take a look at that in just a minute. If you desire to walk with God, you will have to be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit and not be the leader yourself. Jesus said, I do nothing unless I see the Father do. We also have to have the same level of relationship with the Holy Spirit. We do nothing unless we see the Holy Spirit do it and lead us. I'm so glad three of you are convinced. Amen. Let's move on. I think part of the problem is that he is someone that we can't see. And because we can't see him, it's kind of difficult to follow someone that you can't see, right? How can someone who I can't see speak to me, lead me, guide me? Well, the good news is this, is you must understand. See, Jesus made sure that everything you need to know about him, he told you. And one of the things he tells us about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. What does that mean? That means that he will never lead you into error. He will never tell you something that contradicts the truth. He will always tell you the truth. Now watch. John 14, 17 says this, speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 15, 26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. There we see another example. Who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. John 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. And there you see it. He's called the Spirit of truth multiple times so that you can understand that the Holy Spirit will always lead you into truth. Now, that's why. Oh, Pastor, you know, God, the Holy Spirit wants me to be happy. So he wants me to leave my wife. And I'm looking at these wonderful believers and thinking to myself, brother, that ain't his voice. He will never contradict the truth. Amen. Amen. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. It must be the rain. The Holy Spirit will be many things in your life as a comforter, as a helper. Someone you can lean on, someone you can trust, someone you can have intimacy with. I've shared with you, and last week we actually had such a powerful service in the morning, and the presence of the Spirit came so strong in this place. It was really beautiful. But what we also need to understand is that he's also other things to us. He is the one who will teach you. He is the one who will remind you. John 14, 26 says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit from the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. That's what he does. He reminds you of the things that Jesus has taught you. He will bring to remembrance the things that you've been taught. He will be the one who will teach you everything. Listen, God will put teachers in your life that will speak wonderful things to you and teach you all kinds of things, but there is no teacher like him. He will teach you in a deeper level. He will take truth that is presented to you and he will take it even deeper for you. Can you say amen? But remember, he doesn't teach error. So when you are in error, you are not hearing his voice. He testifies of Jesus, but when John 15, 26 says, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you, from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Don't worry about your relationship with him, because his whole purpose is to point you to Jesus. That's his desire. Listen, he wants you to fall so in love with him, the Holy Spirit. So when you fall in love with him, basically all you will see is Christ. You will understand the way Jesus thought. You will understand the way Jesus thinks. You will understand the way Jesus feels. You will begin to read parables and things like that that you couldn't understand before. And all of a sudden you'll be like, wow. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts in John 16, 8 and 9. It says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts, so you don't have to do it. Listen, the sinners know how bad they are. You don't have to tell them. The guys in the world, they already know that they're bad. You don't need to tell them. You need to love them. You need to take him and present him to them. And when you do that, he does all the work for you. You just sit and watch. But when we go and we tell them how bad they are, we don't represent the heart of God. Listen, I'm all for repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Let's go. But there's a time and a place for that. When you are individually ministering to someone in your workplace, when you are individually ministering to someone in your family, it's going to take his love, and it's not going to be your preaching. It's not going to be your teaching and all your knowledge that's going to convince them. It's going to be your conduct and your heart that will show the true love of God. When you have the Holy Spirit living inside you, it's contagious. Listen, I love it. I love it. I had a couple that came to the church the other day from the coffee shop. They walked in the church and I brought them into the building and I could feel the presence of God. I didn't even have to speak. It was so awesome. And we started talking and then I started speaking about my sermon from Sunday, from last Sunday. And it was so great because I was remembering the Greek words and I even pronounced them better than I do here. It was so awesome. And while I'm busy speaking, I can see the Holy Spirit's busy working and I'm watching as he's busy convicting and he's busy speaking into their heart. And I'm thinking to myself, but Lord, you know, I didn't even prepare anything. I didn't have anything great to say, but you just brought to remembrance the things that you've already taught me. And I'm basically just projecting your love. You know, they called Jesus many things and accused him of many things, but they could never deny the fact that he loved. The Holy Spirit will guide us. He reveals things. He shows things to us. And listen, the Holy Spirit is the one who will help you to worship like you have never worshipped before. The Bible says that he draws us. John 16, 13 to 14, this is what it says. However, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will testify. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. What we need to understand about God, listen, is that God loves you so deeply. He really does. Listen, he wouldn't go to the trouble of doing everything he has done to make sure that every one of us can have communion with him if he didn't love us so much. Last week, I shared with every one of you that were here how powerful it is for us to have this deep desire to worship God, to get into the presence of God, to desire to have this intimate relationship with the other one that Jesus spoke about, the one that he would send that would be our comforter, our helper, the one that we would have relationship with. And I spoke to you about the encounters I've had with him in my room. Those have been the best. The ones in church are awesome, but the ones in privacy when you're with him alone, those are the great ones. Those are the moments like Moses had in the burning with the burning bush experience. And it's so wonderful. But let me show you something this morning. That truly, if you study the word, will be a direct response to him who loves you so much and is already pursuing you with everything he has inside of him. Let me prove it to you. Are you all okay this rainy morning in Vero Beach? You see, he wants to lead you. But he wants more for you to want to be led by him. And that's not always easy. Now, James 4, verse 4 to 5. And you need to understand the context of the script, of the text, because one thing about James is he wrote primarily to the Jews. And he was quite a sort of a tough guy, James. And when James addressed the Jews, he would address them very directly, and often in his writings, he talks about works and a lot of things that are very, very intense to the believer. So when he makes certain statements, you need to understand who he's addressing and the context in which he addresses it, because you must recognize the seriousness of what he's saying to those individuals. James 4, verse number 4, look at how he starts. He calls them adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? It's a powerful, powerful piece of scriptures, of text. As I explained to you, James is speaking to the Jews. Now, if you were a Jew in that time, adultery was like you would be stoned if you committed adultery. So for him to turn around and basically tell them, listen, you are committing spiritual adultery with your behavior, is a very powerful statement, and definitely not one that the people took lightly, and I don't think they enjoyed being called that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be called a spiritual adulterer. I don't want to be called an adulterer in any way. Amen. Now, what we need to look at is, if that's the case, if he's calling them adulterers, why is he doing that? And basically, the very next sentence tells us, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Now, why would that be? I don't get it. Why is he saying that friendship with the world is adultery? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. The word friend here in the Greek is a very powerful word. Of course, the Greek language, don't you love it? It is the word philos, which describes a friendship that is a very devoted friendship, a beloved friendship. It suggests that you want to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with someone. This kind of relationship can cause you to become so preoccupied with this friend or with the world that you lose focus. Now, let's just get real for a minute. And I love bringing marriage into it. And you can't get upset with me, because we are the bride of Christ. Amen. So there is definitely, this is like the greatest example, right? If you are married and you are the bride, and all of a sudden you decide that you're rather going to spend time doing things in the world, you're going to leave your spouse at home and you're going to go and you're going to spend time and come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to just go fishing all the time, and you're just going to do this all the time, and you spend no time with your spouse, what's going to happen? I haven't stepped on any toes now, have I? The fact of the matter is, guys, is that if you become so in love and consumed by anything else other than your spouse is going to get upset. The Holy Spirit also gets upset when we are consumed by the things of this world, where they take control of our time and our lives, and we are not led by Him. You can't be led by Him if everything else in the world consumes your time. This is making sense. So what he's basically saying is if you are going to be preoccupied with the world, then you are committing spiritual adultery. He's not saying that there's anything wrong with doing fun things. He's not saying that there's anything wrong with having nice things. He's talking about you being completely preoccupied to the point where you neglect Him. Because if you're neglecting Him, and you're not listening to Him, and you're not spending time with Him, you cannot be being led by Him. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy? We need to realize that the Holy Spirit yearns for you. The word yearn there is also a very powerful word in the original language. It is the word epipotheo. Man, that came out good. Epipotheo. Yearns. Epipotheo. And it is translated a longing for or a great desire for. The reality is that the Holy Spirit that lives in you has this longing and great desire to be in relationship and intimacy with you. It paints a picture of the way that the Holy Spirit loves you and wants to be with you. That is why we are required to have a relationship with Him every day. If you don't work at your marriage every day, you will lose touch with your spouse. If you don't have a relationship and intimacy with the Holy Spirit every day, you will lose touch with Him. If you want to be led by Him. Amen. Okay. I can teach you guys a lot of stuff, and I'm really excited because we're about to get into a whole thing on spiritual warfare. I'm going to be doing a whole series on the marriage soon. I'm looking forward to that, on the family, really. I can teach you all this stuff, but let me tell you something. That as your pastor, my greatest desire would be to cause you, and I can't do it, I can just sort of inspire you and share with you how lucky we are, for a lack of a better word, to be able to have this intimate relationship with someone that is truly God. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He is just like Jesus, breathing and speaking and opening your eyes and revealing things to you, wanting to lead you. And really what the Lord is trying to tell us is that all He wants from you is you. He just wants you. He is so desperate to get to know you more. He's so desperate for you to want to get to know Him more. He's so desperate to want to lead you into your destiny and your purpose. And I'm gonna give you just a few more scriptures, three more scriptures, and I'm going to close. But I want to go to Revelation 2, verse number 1. Let's go there. Because I believe this describes many churches today. Because we can do so many good things for God. We can start awesome coffee shops. We can have amazing outreach. We can get so busy doing all the right stuff and neglect the most important thing. And this letter to this church, when I read this the other day, and I've read it 1,000 times, but when I read it the other day, it took me back to, as I said earlier, last week, I said to you, it took me back to where my relationship with God totally changed. And this was really the scripture that did it. I wanted to share it with you last week, but then I thought I'll share it with you this week. Let's read it together. Well, I'll read it. You can follow. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. Now, we could stop there and I could preach all week right there. Because what you need to understand is there's only one, and his name is Jesus. And he holds the lampstand in his hand that represents the 7 expressions of the one true Holy Spirit. Now, I've taught on this before, so I'm not going to really get into it. I'll share just in a little bit more about that. But you need to understand it starts making that statement because it represents the power of the church, what the church represents, the spirit behind everything we do, which really is the one Holy Spirit operating in our lives and through our lives and in the life of the church. Watch what he says. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. So far, it sounds really good, right? And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Man, I like everything he's saying. And you have preserved and have patience. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Everything he's saying is so awesome. And I want the Lord to speak about us like that. But watch this. Don't read ahead now. You've not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Church, he is a jealous God in that he has given everything for us. He loves our works that we do. He loves our dedication and our desire to do everything with integrity and all that stuff. But what he desires more than anything is for us to go back to our first love, to the place where all that mattered to us was being in his presence and spending time with him and intimacy with him. He said, I will send you another helper just like me. I will not leave you orphans. Listen, when you come to Christ, it's not just about making that decision and then trying to work and trying to walk and trying to do things right. Listen, there will come a point where the trying ends, and all that matters is how much you can speak to him and know his ways and hear his voice, and for him to share his secrets and the mysteries that he has about your life and his word. And he opens it up to you. Listen, I don't care about all the other stuff anymore. Listen, I just want to be in his presence. When I go into my room and I close my door and I say, Father, this afternoon or this morning or whenever it is, the middle of the night, during my lunch break, I run to the bathroom and just lift my hands and say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I desire to draw close to you. You are my helper. Lord, what can I do? If there's anything I say, help me, like it was with Isaiah when he said, I am a man of unclean lips. Lord, help me, purge me, change me, turn me into the other man. But right now, Father, my only desire is not to focus on my weaknesses and the things I do wrong, but rather to focus on how desperate I am to know you more, how desperate I am for you to be my first love again, how desperate I am to draw close to you. If we can get this right, listen, revival is inevitable, because what happens is what he says that if you don't do that, I will put out your lamps. In other words, there are seven flames of the one Holy Spirit that burn bright inside you. The firelight of the Spirit of God. Where did you get that passion? Where did you get that zeal? Where did you get that knowledge? Where did you get that wisdom? How is it that you carry the fear of the Lord? That is the seven expressions of the one Holy Spirit. And you can find that in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 11, verse number 2. And Jesus quotes it in Luke 4:18 when he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That is the seven expressions of the one true Holy Spirit. If you don't love him, if you don't desire him, You can do all the works you want. Well, I'm going to start this ministry. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And that's honorable. And you will be rewarded for it. But unless it's Him, you can do all the doing you want, but you won't change anything. Because you won't have His power. You won't have His Spirit leading you. Leading you the same way that He led Jesus. Can you say amen, church? Amen. James 4:6 says this, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It doesn't matter what we've done to this point. We've all had a walk and a journey with Him. But if at this point right now you say, Father, I want to serve You. I want to know You more. If you humble yourself, He will give you even more grace. James 4 verse 8 says this, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's the key, is that so many of us, all of us, oftentimes are double-minded because this world is pulling so hard at us. And it's not the things that you do that will change your mind. It's the person of Jesus. It's the person of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That if you invite Him into your life and truly seek after Him and let Him be a part of everything, try it. You'll be amazed. Because all of a sudden your focus switches from your errors, your sins, your problems, your weaknesses, your addictions, whatever it is. And all now that you're doing is focusing on just walking with Him. And suddenly you recognize that He's speaking to you all the time. All the time. Just like that. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't look at that. You shouldn't do that. And that's the don'ts. There's also so many do's. Go and speak to her. Go and say something to Him. Come to your bedroom. I want to spend some time with you. Let me show you something. Let me reveal something to you. That's the relationship He desires to have with us. Don't tell me He doesn't long for you. He longs for you so desperately. And all He wants in return is for you to do the same for Him. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning in this place, Lord, we can teach on the Holy Spirit for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we can talk about many different things. Our helper, our comforter, all these things that You are to us, Holy Spirit. But we are entering a season right now. We, like You said to the church in Ephesus, go back to doing the first things right, which is just falling in love with You and being amazed at what You do when we allow You to lead our lives. Father, when we allow You to lead us, not only will You change us like You changed Peter and Paul, not only will You change us like You changed thousands upon hundreds of thousands through the ages, but also, Father, when we allow You to truly lead us and we listen to Your voice, Father, we see in Scripture and even through the ages that our shadow can fall on people and they can get healed. Anything is possible when you truly lead us. Lord, I ask this morning, as the pastor of this church, and I take it so humbly, Father, I'm so thankful for this opportunity, and I don't know why you've placed me here all the time. All I can do is just show them these precious people, if I can even do that, how wonderful you are. Because surely your goodness and your mercy has followed me all the days of my life, especially when I didn't deserve it. How is it possible that we, even all these that are in this place, can still be here and you still love us? No less than you did the first day we came to you. Father, this morning I pray that you will take this series and put it in our hearts, that we would have a deeper walk with you, that we would have a deeper relationship with you, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask right now, again in this place, that you would come. I know that you're already here and you're working in our hearts. You're the one who convicts, who leads, who teaches, who draws, who does all these things. And you are so welcome. We're so thankful that your presence is here this morning, Lord. I pray this morning, Father, that you will take our lives. Take our lives. Now, if there's anybody here this morning and you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you will never know the Holy Spirit. The Word says that you do not know Him. You can't know Him. But if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to give my life to Jesus so that I can get to know Him. I want to know that other one that he spoke about that would reveal Jesus to me in the fullness of who he really is. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I need to commit my life to him this morning, won't you lift your hand for me real quick so that I can pray for you? Thank you, sir. Anybody else say, Pastor, include me in that prayer. Lift your hand up so I can see where you are. I'm not going to call you to the front or anything like that. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hand in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Say, include me in that prayer, Pastor. God bless you. Put your hand down. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Say, Pastor, include me in this prayer this morning. I want to give my life today to Him. And I'll include you in this prayer. Anybody online as well? I'm also speaking to you guys. I know many are watching. If you want to have that intimate relationship and get to know Him, it starts by making a decision and accepting Him in your life. Now, I also want to pray for anyone that says, my life has brought me to this point, and I've given my heart to Jesus, but I know nothing about what you're speaking of. I don't know what it's like to really be led by the Holy Spirit, to have this intimacy and relationship. You talk about Him like He really is your friend. Well, He is. And if that's you and you say, I also want that kind of relationship, I need that kind of relationship, and you want to recommit your life or make a commitment to Him today, if that's you, could you lift your hand? I'll pray for you as well. God bless you. God bless you. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. You can put your hands down. God bless all of you for putting your hands up. So many online as well. If that's you and you say, Pastor, pray for me as well, please. I need to make this commitment today. Just put your hand up where you are and I'll include you. Can we all stand for just a moment? I'm going to pray real quick before I ask you to pray this prayer with me. So just bear with me for 1 second. Before you pray, every one of you that lifted your hands, and in fact the whole congregation and those watching online as well, if you can all pray this with me. But just first let me say this. Let me ask the Lord to do something this morning. Father, this morning in this place, I thank you for every single life that is here and watching online. Not only those that lifted their hands, Father, but everyone else as well. I pray, Lord, that this season, this time that we're entering into, will be a time where we draw so close to you that we will be astounded and get to know you, Holy Spirit, like never before. I pray specifically now for those that lifted their hands this morning, Father, that this morning will not just be empty words, but Father, that it will come from the heart of every individual that lifted their hands. I pray, Lord, as we speak these words in just a minute to you and make a commitment to you, that we will give our lives to you and serve you all the days of our lives. I thank you that I know that, Lord, when we make that decision, there is no condemnation. Your past does not define you. What you do from now can change everything, even the direction your life is going in. It can be a new start, a fresh start, but it's all dependent on your heart this morning. And so let's all pray this together this morning and all say together, Father, I come to you today. In the name of Jesus, I give my life to you. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on that cross and rise again. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Write my name in the Lamb's book of life. Give me a new start. Give me a fresh start. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, come now and fill me. Come now and lead me. In the name of Jesus. Now let's give him a clap. Let's give him a shout. Every single one of you precious people that lifted your hands this morning, your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And there is a celebration going on in heaven because you matter to God. Your life matters to him. You are so valuable and so precious. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. And so, Father, we're so thankful to you for what you've done this morning. Lord, let it be, as the sermon title is, that this will take us into a deeper walk with you. We are so thankful for bringing us this far, and we know that you'll take us further, Lord. Let us fulfill the destiny and purpose that you have allotted for us, and let us do it not by might or by power, but by your Spirit. All the glory, all the honor, and all the praise belongs to you. In the name of Jesus the Christ. And now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the communion with the Spirit be with every single one of you this morning as you leave. Remember, you are his child. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are favored. You are beloved. You are his. And never forget that. In the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it this morning, Father. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We hope that this message has inspired you in so many ways. If you would like to support our ministry, or if you would like more messages, you can find that at www.oceansunite.com. Once again, we are so excited to have you as a part of the family. Have a wonderful day.